When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, I'm Justin.
And I'm Lucy.
And together we are the hosts of Plenty Questions.
It's a very straightforward general knowledge quiz.
We ask you 20 questions, one after the other, 5 second gap in between, and you shout the answers out.
And then you tweet us to let us know how you've got on.
See if you can get 20 out of 20. No one has so far, but that's because we haven't started doing it yet.
But we will. And there's also going to be some fiendish brain teasers, so join us for Plenty
Questions.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Curse of Strictly. I'm Mark Haynes.
I'm so happy. and I'm Julia Rayside.
And yeah, we're gonna take you through the final of Strictly Come Dancing. I think out of all the series, this was probably, you know, the worst dance, least enjoyable, least needed final of all time.
Yeah, it was just awful, wasn't it? Don't know why they bothered.
It was absolutely the most spectacular show on TV all year.
It really was. Were you a mess? We were crying in this house. Absolutely buckets of tears.
Do you know what? I found it fine until Katya and Nicola Adams came out and did the sex dance. That we had thought we'd been robbed of.
The sex
and
dance.
I thought...
The horizontal, vertical, sexual...
Absolutely. And it was... Here is liberal values at a time when liberal values don't really get much coverage. And it seemed like we'd been robbed of it. And she had basically had however many weeks it was to learn how to dance that dance properly. And she did an amazing job. And I was really, really pleased to see just this sexy, good, London-based dance.
London-based. Yeah. It was. She was brilliant. Nicola was brilliant. She obviously had been training, because I've seen their Instagram. They've been training for a couple of weeks at least. But my God, it was like they've been listening to this show and they finally gave us what we'd been salivating and baying for, like the indecent people we are. It was just great. And it was just the right side of sexy. So Katy didn't hold on to the lingering looks she would perhaps as much with a man. I thought there was a slight attempt to clean it up a little bit, but didn't make any difference. It didn't make it any worse for me. It was lovely to see them dancing just as a couple,
And it did make me start to sort of whoop and giggle. I felt very bubbly and strange because not for that reason. I felt it.
Funny feeling in your tummy, Mark.
Do you know what? After like the news that, I mean, what an opening act for Strictly. What a warm up. The world's worst.
This keeps
warm-up.
Happening, though.
It does.
This happened. I think it was the Strictly launch show, the Bake Off launch show, and the Strictly final were all preceded by rather grim government briefings. It's almost like they planned them that way.
Yeah. I mean, 6 p.m. on a Saturday was a strange time to suddenly decide to release this sort of, you know, monumental news. But then they could have essentially the BBC picking up the pieces. You have Tess and you have the announcement that preceded Strictly as well. All done on the hoof, where this huge corporation that the government loathes, detests and wishes to pull apart brick by brick is there saying, please don't go into the streets with burning torches. Watch this for an hour and remember that life...
Calm the populace down.
Exactly that. Yeah, it did feel like that.
Isn't it ironic, that they're basically, they're not funding the arts. They're not really asking us to retrain in cyber, but, you know, that general distaste for people who do silly jobs, when they have leaned on the entertainment industry so freaking heavily.
Absolutely.
To kind of calm people's anger when they cock up again.
Yeah, it does seem very much something that I think, you know, obviously it's not really talked about, but I do think if I was working in government and I knew I had these unpopular things, I'm hardly going to say, let's do it before a rerun of Quincy. You are going to say, You know, let's have 16 million people go on to watch Strictly. And then when they remember this news, they might go, oh, but something good happened after it, didn't it?
Yeah. It's like a sort of a mental association that will stop you from snapping and shooting everyone in your street.
I see through it.
Cynical.
I see through it. I am currently dancing my way to Downing Street with a... I was going to say with a gun. And I'm not going to say that because I think...
Don't say
those
that.
Sorts of things are the things that get liberal intelligentsia murdered. So, I mean, that would just...
Let's move on to the show.
That would really be the topper for this year, wouldn't it? Someone shoots me dead on the 31st of January. December. Oh, ruined a joke. This year just gets worse and worse. It really does. Man, great opening as well, where they finally are taking it like the national sport.
Yes, completely.
This is a competition that matters. It's not just, oh, we come out and we have a bit of fun. They were like, I want to win. I want to win.
There's something at stake.
Yeah, completely.
And they did a really clever matching of that pre-recorded dance routine. They're sort of what, maybe I'm being picky, wasn't the most spectacular show opener they've done this series,
actually.
But they did match it quite cleverly with the live studio. It was pretty seamless, I thought, the way they sort of did the CGI tunnel with the contestants coming down. And it did all look really slick and like they were doing it all on the night, I thought, which was really impressive.
There were two things about that dance that made it unimpressive. One was the male dancers were all dressed in beige slacks and white shirts. So
yeah, it's quite bland.
It looked a little bit like a call centre sort of office party, and all the lads have sort of taken their ties off. And the other thing about it was it's the CGI, and that's been the worst thing about this series, which otherwise has been a phenomenal series.
Yeah,
they had this sort of CGI, sort of 1980s sort of flair detailing. So Neil Jones would move his hand, and a little yellow flare would come out. But slightly, they'd had to structure the dance around the fact they've gone, we want the flares to go in four times. So he's just standing there throwing his arms out. I can do that.
Do you know what? Jamie Biscuits can probably do that.
Very true. He started off by saying, you know, we just need to remind people where we came from.
SW10. Yeah, like everyone else was a pro.
Exactly that. And his journey was the guy who'd never danced before. That is the journey of every single contestant. There's no need to single him out as being the owner of that.
Also, I would say with some confidence that he will never dance again because it will have no further currency for him. That's literally the last time he'll be bothered to dance, because after that, it won't be for the joy of returning to his like newfound love. It'll be like, no, I've done that now.
Yeah, that's done.
He'll just look for another reality show to do. It's just, it's so grim the way he's just trampled over the corpse of Strictly and moved on.
I've effectively shagged dance, and now I am no longer interested in it because...
Genuinely.
It's the way I work. It's the biscuit way.
We'll come back to it, but he did say at the end of the show when everyone... And he was clearly furious with Bill for getting in the most emotional kind of... getting the nation together comments and crying and stuff. He was furious with Bill for his genuine emotion. And he did say... I've completed Strictly.
Mm, yeah.
I have completed. It was the most coldly...
Wasn't it?
Unemotional. I have started and finished Strictly. It means nothing to me, but I have ticked it off the
completely.
List. Completely. It was so encapsulating of his entire approach.
Whether or not
show.
You have decided I have won this show or not, let me make it clear that I have completed it and therefore effectively have won. I've won.
Exactly.
You lost.
Yeah, in his mind.
You lost.
Made it to the end. You lost.
You lost.
Get over
they
it.
They should say.
Deal with it.
We don't pick who came second and third. We won't reveal that. But Jamie, you did come last tonight. That would have been...
Honestly, can we just talk about every time they did the leaderboard after each section of everyone had done their dance in that section? Jamie's always at the bottom. He's always a few points behind. And every time, because I'm childish, I turned to my husband and said... it's almost as if he's not as good as the other three couples.
That is true.
Every single time.
We will get onto it as well, but I thought the marking on this show, I thought Craig made a really, really, really serious error of judgment on this show, and he made it continuously throughout.
I think so.
And the one thing I do sort of wonder about that is whether or not that was an attempt to not have this huge gap where everyone has got absolutely clean sweep three tens. But Jamie would have had an 8 and, you know, 2 9s sort of thing.
They should have given him 3 8s for every dance just to see the steam coming out.
Entirely. And I think that really would have, like, you know, conveyed the fact that, you know, that he was not at the same level as other people. If you're treating this like a competition, you have to allow that to happen.
And everyone knows the final is the judges' marks are just a guide, and it's a full-on popularity contest. There's nothing else to it. It might as well be Big Brother, because by that stage, supposedly, you've got the four best couples, and then it's just a matter of who do you love most. Bill was always going to win that vote,
yeah.
Certainly with Ranveer gone. But the idea that he could dance harder and win somehow was never going to happen. It was just popularity. But the judges, you know, they have to play that last episode, obviously, in a crowd-pleasing way, but also with a little bit of discretion. And it just, Jamie got the same marks as Bill and Oti sometimes. It was just like,
Completely. Or
Maisie.
I think it also, it punctured what could have been really, really uplifting and big moments that Craig would just go, I'm giving a 9. Why continually give that 9? It's the last show. They don't need any further sort of encouragement to improve. Yeah. There were dances there that were not just 30s, that were, they were 48.
They should have had like bonus paddles to additionally reward remarks, yeah.
But when Craig is watching that, saying it's absolutely phenomenal, it's fantastic, and then gives it a 9, which he didn't do once, he did 4 times.
He did.
It's just, what are you doing? Why are you ruining the last show? Why are you making these people feel bad?
Yeah, he didn't ruin the last show. I think the presence of Jamie, who's not as good as everyone else, meant that he could. It stuck in his craw. I think the first 9 he gave was to Jamie, and it was just. I mean, I cheered obviously because it's like, good. It's not 10. That'll annoy him.
Unbelievably, but the first 9 he gave was that opening dance with Harvey and Jeanette.
Oh, he did to Harvey and Jeanette. Yeah. Well, that did seem a bit off, but clearly he's just a man of. He's a performer, and he was always building to a crescendo. He was never going to just spunk it all on the first dance. He was holding back.
And do you know what? I thought, oh, that's his plan. The reason he's done it, he's given 9s in the first so he can give 10s in the last.
The fireworks are building up, yeah.
The very last mark that he gave to a dance with Maisie and Gorka, that was a 9.
It so wasn't a freaking 9.
I mean, he also gave a 9, I think, to Harvey, didn't he? The first one. I mean, it was just ludicrous.
Yes.
They were not 9s. They were definitely 10s. Oh, infuriating.
Yeah, Harvey and Jeanette got a 9 again for their show dance, which just seems absolutely extraordinary.
Ridiculous.
Let's go through them dances one by one.
Let's have it. Tess comes out first, doesn't she? She reminds us that the world outside is horrible and Strictly is the only thing stopping the British people, their morale just shattering.
But it's true. But also reminding us that that's about to be taken away. And, you know, left is only the grey void of misery that is January and February.
Yeah. And they really hammered this home, I thought, a little bit too much. Because I think it's one thing for us to say it, and it's one thing for them to acknowledge it. But when 3 of the links are them saying, if it wasn't for us, you know, you would have all just said there is no point continuing.
Yeah, killed yourselves.
Yeah, it was a bit like that. And I was a little bit like, not sure that's for the show to start telling us, you know.
I know what you mean.
That's for people like us to say.
It literally is our job. We are the two people in this country that are allowed, as outsiders but commentators, to make that sort of remark. I felt a little bit insulted. But all the way through, I really liked the counterbalance of Claudia, who just lost it and cried loads. And then it would always be Tess standing next to her going, it is emotional.
It wasn't.
But never, I'm crying too. It was always like, oh, I wish I could give you a hanky. It's emotional. But she is such a pro. There will be no penetrating of the pro mask. She just doesn't have the feelings while she's having the presenting.
Cannot locate emotion, Chip. Run 10. Release oil from eye.
I just read that as her having a professional fascia, past which nothing gets, literally nothing. They could, like a small seal pup could be murdered in front of her and she'd say, it is emotional.
Yeah.
Coming up next, Harvey and Jeanette with their jive.
That was Czech Theosaurus. Sad. The first dance was Harvey and Jeanette, and they did the dance that they did in week one, the jive. Nice to see they'd saved the gif of the baby blocks for Harvey as well. reminding everyone that he's baby Harvey. I mean, he was so good in this. Just the whole
so
show.
Clean.
Wasn't it? And he's just, she is amazing, Jeanette. She is absolutely amazing. At times in this dance, he was better. And I just found it... Oh, it was just breathtaking. They are, even though they're different heights, they are sort of identically proportioned.
Yes.
So when the knee goes up and you look at both of them, it's just like one of them is a little bit further back. They were so in time and their limbs were exactly at the sort of same proportional point each time, you know, a knee went up or an arm went out.
For sure.
I just thought it was phenomenal. Every moment. Watching this as he opened it, I really thought to myself, he is the dark horse in this. He seems to be the one who has had the least sort of, if you like, personal impact on the show.
Yeah.
But he just goes out and dances these phenomenal things.
He's impeccable. Thinking, I agree.
Absolutely that. I thought he was going to win this. Watching this, I thought, oh gosh, okay.
I think I'd started to come around to that idea too. And actually, you know, I didn't mind too much. Obviously, my heart was a Bill and Oti from the start. But I would have been, I think Bill and Oti would have been grand with either Harvey or Maisie winning. I don't think anyone would have been happy with it. And actually, no, in that studio, they're all weirdly breathing the gas. They'd have been really, really happy because they were told to be. But his kicks and flicks, you see other people try and do them, even really agile, brilliant people like Clara. And it's so nearly there, but it's the one time you can see a pro and a celebrity next to each other and go, oh, that's the pro. Easy. That's easy.
Yeah.
His kicks and flicks are phenomenal, like absolutely breathtakingly sharp, retracted. I mean, I'm an expert, by the way. No, but just from everything they seem to want from this dance, the judges just seem to get it with him. He's just astonishing.
It's like he's got hollow bones like a bird. He just floats about and it's
weightless.
Shirley said it was absolutely amazing. You have conquered your skills, she said.
There was a lot of them just getting so carried away and not really having the words to express.
No.
But it was fine.
It was scintillating, sparkling and exhilarating. Couldn't think of a third S one there.
No, exactly. Every time they tried, they pretty much failed to be in any way coherent. And it just didn't matter. It was just everyone was going, oh, God, this is nearly over. Don't look at the end of the tunnel. Don't look at the end of the tunnel. Keep focusing on the glitter. Motsy was dressed as two glitter balls, which I thought was very impressive. That outfit was like, that was next level. Like they all turned it up for the final, obviously, but she looked incredible.
Didn't she? And, you know, Claudia in her black sparkly and Tess wearing her robot skin. amazing. Motsy said, one of the best dances we've ever seen on the show. And this is the confirmation.
Yeah.
And then Craig said, I've decided I'm going to be very nice this show because of all the bad news.
Yeah.
Congratulations, he said.
He did say it was cleaner and more precise, and he said all the right things. And then the scores were flagged up, and Craig gave them a 9.
Absolutely which, nuts.
You know, like you said, if there'd been a narrative arc there of some sort of building of tension to the end where he jizzed tens all over the studio audience.
Yeah.
But no, didn't happen.
In my notes here, it says 9, you tit.
Exactly.
I was furious.
Wasn't reading the room or indeed the audience at home quite correctly.
No, you set up the show and it didn't seem to affect it. But I think, you know, you have to set up that show. And if you set it up with 3 tens, you go, well, right, we're in for a really good night. Everyone's got to bring it. And when you get a 9 and 2 tens, you go, oh, OK, so that dance that I thought was spectacular, I was wrong.
Was perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, there was something wrong with it.
And, you know, from that trajectory from week one to now, he'd obviously... You know, it looked pretty flawless in week one, but he'd improved, tightened up, his technique was better, and still not a perfect score like that. It did seem a little off.
Welcome to All Rather Mysterious, the podcast that aims to unlock the mysteries of the past with the key of fact. My name is John Rain.
My name is Eleanor Morton.
My name is David Reed.
Please join us as we present to you mysteries that have baffled the world.
You had any noises?
What about a door creaking?
You don't have to do it.
That weird kadoonk that lights going off makes for some reason in films.
All rather mysterious.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
But anyway, next came Jamie and Karen, who did their Charleston from week three, obviously because man remembers when man wear funny wig, audience laugh, audience love man. So man wants to do that one again.
I mean, the reveal of the dance where they had a bit where they were all up the gherkin. Oh, they went up the gherkin, they looked very much like when the villains meet in a dystopian sci-fi.
Just a giant empty room overlooking the city like they're about to bomb it or something.
And beneath are all the undervermin, and they're sitting there in their tower just going, how do we control the whatever currency this future dystopian is using? I mean, bread these days.
Bitcoins. I mean, I was going to say, it's wheelbarrows full of flour.
But it was ruined. I mean, it made pointless to sort of have Shirley going on a big mission where they argue about what the dance is going to be, and then we see Shirley reveal it to them when he's already dressed as
we see the costumes. Hercules. Yeah, there's no tension. We can see what they're wearing. We know.
Yeah, we know it's going to be the Hercules.
That's not
dance.
His real hair. Amazingly. No. He did have a hair transplant, Jamie, while he was on Made in Chelsea. He tried to hush it up, but some people found out. So he's already had a hair transplant to try and remain youthful and current, because he's, in fact, in his early 50s. He's the oldest person on that show by some considerable length. And he'll never leave until, I don't know, maybe the dancing gives him a new platform, which he won't now, because everyone will forget you again. Sorry, Jamie. We've got to stop. We've got to save some of the vitriol for the end, when I laughed and laughed and laughed at a stupid, angry face.
He comes out as Hercules. He bangs down these big sort of Greek pillars, which made me think, oh, that's sort of like what they used to do in the Bullingdon Club, isn't it?
If he'd have made
it to Oxbridge.
Smash places up and then leave it for other people to clean up, other underlings. That's kind of the mentality.
Do you know what? This is one of the dances that I was away filming, and I did I had not seen this dance before. And I thought, what did you think, Mark? I thought it was like two quite insufferable A-level drama students who were auditioning for a live-action Hercules theatre show that was going to be taking place on a cruise ship. I thought it was muggy, and it was all arms going, oi, oi. There is a part of this where you go, I know it's a kid's cartoon and everything, but if you're doing something about Greek myth or whatever, then don't you in some way incorporate that? And instead what they'd incorporated was like the cartoon element. I thought it was an inferior dance to the very much like it or loathe it Simpsons dance that Diane and Max did.
Oh, God. Which was creepy as fuck, but much better.
Oh, it was like a weird sort of backwater of porn, that dance. It was unsettling.
I have to say, as like the second dance of the night, obviously it's a Charleston, so yes, muggy and army and all that stuff, that's kind of what a Charleston is. But when I detected a single Charleston step, you know, and I watched it pretty closely, and I have seen this dance before, there was one bit where he was required to do the swivel feet thing. And there was no swivel.
Literally
none. And Mark, he did this dance better in week three.
Right.
He phoned this one in. It wasn't even technically as good as when he didn't do it that well in week three. It remains a week three Charleston.
Yeah.
And by the final, you should get better, like Harvey and Jeanette with their jive in week one. They polished that up, tidied it up, made it impeccable. He did a week three Charleston slightly worse than he did it in week three, which is just jaw-droppingly arrogant.
You can see that, like, the judges, a lot of their comments, they don't sort of go, I really enjoyed that dance. They end up saying things like Shirley saying, you're strong, you can do anything you believe in.
Craig said, I love the wig. He literally said, I love the wig.
As soon as you notice that, you go, okay, so they cannot find anything nice to say about the dance.
Nothing at all.
But of course, it's the last show, so they're going to be positive and they're not going to humiliate him. They're not going to go, Jamie, that is a 5 and you're lucky. You know,
embarrassing.
They gave him an 8 and 2 9s for 26,
which is one score up from last time. So when he did it first time around, he got a 7 and 2 8, which is wildly overmarked, by the way.
There was a part of me where you know, Shirley is saying you can do anything you believe in, and I really thought, you know, the one thing he doesn't need is pep talks. It struck me that everyone Shirley deals with in a dance school seems to be very, very broken. And they need a lot of people to say, you've just got to believe in yourself. And if you can do that out there, then the rest of your life should be. Jamie Lang does not need that. He does not need a pep talk. He's probably, as we speak now, sitting in some awful small chain restaurant in sort of, you know, Notting Hill, breaking the heart of some woman 10 years his junior. We don't need to say you can do anything you believe in, because he knows he can.
And I will, Mark, I will be watching the Daily Mail sidebar of shame and other celebrity outlets like a hawk for the next 2 weeks to see if he's somehow magically managed to leave Tier 4 and go to Dubai for Christmas. Because if you do, mate, I am coming for you.
Good news. The little interview they did afterwards was proper excruciating, and it was the most Boris Johnson
it was quite revealing,
he's
ever wasn't
it? Been. So they mentioned that he'd said if he got to the final, which at the time he obviously said this seemed like a very unlikely scenario.
Very unlikely.
That he would propose to his girlfriend.
And Sophie Habu.
Habu. She did a very nice little piece sitting in a classic Instagram as thing of having the phone sort of on the floor while you sit in the back of a cupboard with your legs, your knees sort of round your ears, you know, looking as if you've been... You know, you're so emotional, you've had to get away to just sort of, you know, scrunch up and think pre-Raphaelite thoughts. And she did a nice thing saying, can you get me Giovanni's number right at the end, undercutting
it. I know, that was his sister.
Oh, was that his sister?
That was his sister, his girlfriend, who he's supposed to propose to. And I think may have said, don't you dare propose to me on TV, that's so cheap and tacky.
Yeah.
His girlfriend was nowhere to be seen in the entire final. Which I thought was interesting, because she's had a couple of video messages. But when Claudia said, are you going to propose to her? I love that you thought his sister with his... It's like Daniel Bedingfield over again. It's must not fancy sister. His very beautiful sister was the message he got from home.
But
he did say, basically, Claudia said, are you going to propose? You did say you were going to. Now's a really good time. And he's like, oh, well, maybe if we win. But clearly he's just been told... On no account do you cheapen this with your shitty reality TV ambitions.
I love the fact that basically on the one time when he's basically said he'll propose, his girlfriend has gone, I am nowhere near that.
No way.
Do you know what? I mean, his sister is funny, but I thought it was a really funny line because I thought it was his girlfriend.
His girlfriend, when she was
like, can I have Giovanni's number? I was like, that's a really fun, you know, what a cool chick and everything. But it was just his sister asking for a bloke's number. It's less funny now.
Yeah, it's less funny. No, his real girlfriend is another sort of Instagram beauty who he's cheated on several times already, some of which happened on television, which is brilliant, obviously. But is still currently in the cycle of believing his bullshit every time he comes back. So, you know, we'll see how that pans out.
It can be a long cycle, but I'm sure he'll add more grist to that mill.
I think so.
Yeah, and he had to look delighted, God bless him, when he got an 8.
He did.
a light went off in his eyes. Absolutely.
Brilliant.
That rictus grin of
he's
just...
Like, no,
you know,
I'm in the final. I've said I'm thankful and proud.
You can't do this. You can't do this
to me. I've pretended
to
cry. I've completed Strictly. Where
how
are my
pens? How much are you worth? How much? Tell me how much you're all worth. I enjoyed that. That queasy looking sudden sort of realization of crushing disappointment.
Oh, this isn't going to go the way I want it
watch
to.
This. Mm. And do you know what? I do realise I am slightly overlaying him with Boris Johnson. Every time something...
Oh, I can't help it. He is Boris.
Every time something doesn't go Jamie Leng's way, I basically go, good, Boris Johnson will feel this too. Which is... The third dance we had was Bill and Oti doing a quick step.
They're week two quick step, which was beautiful.
It really was. CGI elephant, I remembered that from last time, and slightly waiting for it to lumber back in.
Yeah, it just comes on at the end.
I was like, oh, God, it's going to be coming in soon. Inevitably.
I didn't mind it as much as the alligator or slash crocodile, I'm not sure which one it was, which still seemed to be just floating above the floor again, like a hover beast.
They have to get rid of that CGI. It's so bad. It's
I think they all agree that it was a triumph. No. Everyone in studio seems to be agree that it was a... Top notch. Sometimes it's worked, and a lot of the time I don't think it has, and it's been quite distracting. It's literally been in the way, like you just want to get your hand and swipe it out of the way interactively, like get off the screen.
You're right about the depth of it as well, because quite often it starts and I sort of feel queasy and I sort of go, are they in the air? Every time it happens, there was one I thought that really did work, and that was in Bill and Oti's second dance where she appeared behind a playing card. And
yes, the Queen of Hearts.
Yeah, and I had actually thought that was a prop. And so when it disappeared...
Yeah, it was good.
Well, it disappeared badly as well. It just did like a sort of like a wipe which was sort of quite bad. But I was like, oh, well, that actually worked, and it hid her, and that added something, I suppose. But that
exactly,
was the one
yeah.
thing this series where I feel it's worked in anyway.
Yeah, because it was such a theatrical... We'll get to the show dances. That was the show dance, because it was huge and elaborate and theatrical and made you stop and watch in a way that the other show dances were great, not Jamie and Karen's, but because... I think that the other show dances were great, but Bill and Otie's show dance understood the concept of show, of proper entertainment in a way that I think the others didn't. But anyway, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Yeah, we will do. I have a entirely different opinion on that.
Oh, boo. You mustn't disagree with Queen. Queen themselves endorsed it. Anyway,
that's
so the quick step, Dr. Dolittle, it was gorgeous. It was, Craig said it was crisper and really positive. And Shirley said he was so light on his feet. He had soft knees. He had the wingspan of an eagle, which I thought was delightful. She's just really getting carried away. And Moxie talked about his ease and his control.
Oh, I loved it. Ease. With such ease you did that, she said. Such control over everything you did. Craig, you know, he really did hit it for me, where he just went, it was light and it was bright. And it was just, it reminds me of those sort of like footage of people typing in long lines, you know. It was like fingers going on a keyboard, and I thought it was
gorgeous.
The speed. Yeah, really,
really
good.
Yeah, the quick step is a hard dance, and to chuck that at him at week two, I think maybe almost they expected, not maliciously, but maybe they expected it to show up the fact that he was the comedian and the older contestant, and probably would have pushed him towards a dance-off really quickly, but he delivered it like, I mean, if not an actual pro, as near as damn it, it was pretty impressive, I thought. And actually better this time round.
Yep, he got a 9 and 2 tens. So that was... Yeah. They actually said that was his best score yet. Is that true?
I don't know. He hasn't got 3 tens, has he, the whole series?
No.
I don't think Craig had ever given him a 10.
No.
Which is why what happened later was so exciting.
It wasn't it? But again, no idea why Craig is still obsessed with that 9. I know he wants to build, but then he didn't build, so he should have given it a 10. We then have Maisie and Gorka, and they do their samba from week one again.
Yes.
Again, in the little video, each week the judges have pushed Maisie to improve. You'd think that like her worst score had been 12,
yes,
rather than, I think, 24. You know, that is... These storylines they've put in don't necessarily reflect the actual storylines that we've been seeing in the series. Bad bit of production, that.
No, I think you're right. I think they were trying to find a story with Maisie where there was probably more of an emotional one that picked up sort of pace later in the series. But all they were trying to pick her up on was that because she's so perfect, the finishing touch would be the exact right foot position, which is something, you know, pros probably struggle with. But it wasn't really a journey as such. Like, yes, she did some incredible dances, and then in the last 2 weeks, maybe she really nipped in the footwork, so it was actually perfect. But she was so good from week one, just so good.
Yeah, wasn't she? I mean, I feel the story there is almost like it's been lost in translation slightly, as it's gone down to, you know, whoever is in charge of putting the packages together, where they've said the story really is she's so close to being at the top of the mountain.
Right.
Can she do that last bit that just makes her perfect?
Exactly.
And instead they've gone, all right, so she can't scale the mountain.
You know,
wrong. This, for me, was the best dance that I'd seen on Strictly in years and years and years.
It was mind-blowing.
The total package of what she did, which was not just the sort of the level of her dancing, but that million expressions in 2 minutes, each of them making sense, each of them new, unique, fresh, exciting.
Yes.
And the delivery of the actual performance that she did as a complete package is just unparalleled.
She is incredible.
A flawless dance, this one. Just flawless.
I agree. But Craig didn't agree, obviously. But it was... he talked about her having dealt with her issues. What issues? Like her one toe was pointing slightly north of where it should have been. I mean, really. But I think... The execution of this dance, that you're right, was flawless. And that constant changing of her face, like her brain is working almost independently of itself. Like she just is, she's expressing something real in every facial expression.
Completely.
But it changes so quickly, you have no idea how she's computing that fast. It just seems to be happening automatically.
Going from that sort of, you know, that standard dancer's sort of elegant dance face into being saucy, into being sort of surprised, into being, you know, resolute. All of it just, I mean, it was amazing. It's like the complete antithesis of how Tess Daly is, where Tess has, you know, two or three faces and you can see her going through the gears as they change. Maisie just so natural. Just natural. Like something from a Shakespearean play about a fairy that comes and dances about. My favourite Shakespeare play.
that one's called A Midsummer Night's Do About Nothing at all. Yeah. I think, that's my favourite.
It's one of the obscure ones. You probably haven't seen it.
You're talking to the wrong person, mate. I've got a Hamlet bauble on my Christmas tree. That's how sad I am.
Shirley said it was absolutely exceptional. Motsy said, "You killed me. I am left with a feeling." And Craig said,
"Me.
You dance that in a very smashing way, Dom."
A very smashing way. That was probably what his weakest comment of the series, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He didn't really reach for it. He just went, "You're really smashing." Yeah.
I rather like that, he said, underplaying it. You only underplay it if you then give like full marks.
Exactly.
If you underplay it, you're setting them up to go, but you know what's going to happen.
You're
and
laying the groundwork
like,
for the firework. Yeah, exactly.
And instead, he just went 9, and everyone went, "Oh, that's a surprise."
It was not a 9, not by anyone's estimation.
No, crazy. She got a 9 and 2 10s for 29, and that meant after the first four dances, we had joint leaders. Which is everyone but Jamie.
And so who was at the bottom again? Remind me, who was at the bottom of that?
Well, hang on, let me check my notes. With 26 points, that was Jamie, yeah.
Oh, because that's so weird, because it's almost like he's not quite as good as the other three couples. It's almost
I mean, he is 3 marks beneath the others. They basically, between them, only dropped 3 marks.
But as they kept reminding us, anyone could win, Mark. Anyone could win.
Anyone could
win. Even though they all know that he's literally never gotten off the bottom of the public vote from week one. Literally never. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, 26 could still win. Could still win. Time for the T's and C's. Here comes the actress Joanna Page.
Okay.
The BBC's biggest show of the year. The most people going to be watching. The most important show in some ways that the BBC has had in prime time this year, out of any other year.
Yeah.
And for the final show, they choose absolutely charming, quite obscure actress Joanna Page.
I mean, to be fair, she's in Gavin and Stacey, the kind of the huge hit of Christmas last year when it was really homophobic. Remember that time? It was really homophobic.
I do, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
and
I
they
do
didn't say sorry
the
and they said it was fine, but it wasn't fine. And a lot of my gay friends found it very homophobic.
Yeah.
But she is in that big show. And she, literally, I think, was it on Friday? She was on the It Takes Two final panel on BBC Two. So you don't roll out someone you've already used that week on the kind of sister show as the big name for it. Like, it just wasn't, it completely missed the mark. She's lovely, but that is weird casting for a celebrity cameo.
She is not the problem, but it is. It
was
you
weird.
Just, you can't have on the biggest show of the year. You couldn't do any better than that. You couldn't get George Clooney, who's doing PR for a new film, to just come and do that for 30 seconds.
It's
you know,
mad,
make
isn't it?
The show bigger. It's a weird thing where the people doing the T&Cs are benefiting more from the show than the show is from the people doing the T&Cs.
Yeah.
And again, no criticism of Joanna Page. She is, you know, a very good actress. She seems like a lovely person.
Yeah.
This is a thing where if I, again, was the Director General of the BBC, a job I do not want and have no chance of being ever given.
Mark, never say never, okay, mate? Never say never.
This would be one of the things I would look at and go, who made that call? Who signed it off? This is the biggest show we have. I just want to know. I want to talk to them. I want them genuinely to say to me whether they thought that was good enough. That's
well,
all. I just want to find out.
Again, trying to play devil's advocate, maybe they were building towards the final T&Cs where they did pull a big celebrity out of the bag. But anyway.
They needed to be one-on-one as well. Otherwise, if you have two people, it seems like you're doing a commercial thing for something coming up later, which of course you were.
Oh, dear me, yes.
Bad news.
Loved all of my music journalist friends' reaction to that programme, which maybe later we can be asked.
Well, I tell you what, Juliet, before we do the show dances, why don't we take a little break? And so what we're going to do is come back to you with a new episode, because otherwise you're going to have it will be really heavy in your phone if you download this. It's nearly 40 minutes. The last thing we want is your phone to be so heavy that, you know, you are pinned to the floor. You're unable to go shopping.
We don't want any injuries before Christmas. One of the
nine shops open. You know, but we're going to be back with the rest of the final of Strictly Come Dancing Series 18. I'd say about an hour after you've listened to this. All right, then, my loves. Until then, keep black.
GreatBigOwl.com. All of television history is contained within the Box of Delights.
It was happening in front of us.
Incredible.
In our living rooms. It was amazing.
Guests pick their favourite television moment.
And tell us why they love it.
And is this the episode where Daisy's just been for the interview at the Woman's Magazine?
Flaps.
That's it, Flaps.
Yeah.
Named one of Radio Times' best podcasts of the year.
I don't understand people who don't see the joy in drawing the curtains, mug of hot chocolate and something nice on TV. Like, what could be nicer than that?
Than having a snuggle.
Exactly.
Nostalgia in bite-sized chunks.
Box of Delights from Great Big Owl.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.